What's up, family? It's your man, CRB Jr., Cordy Robert Brown Jr., here at Big Boss Filmworks, of course, doing Motown Mafia podcast with my main man, brother Lou Stevens, in the back. How you feeling today, fam?
Big up.
We want to make sure the family is aware of what we got going on the station right now. Episode 68 will go down as a classic. It took us a long time to get it together, but we have the interview with two absolute legends in this thing that we call the game. We got Mr. Pepsi and his main man, Big Skip, the man who made the township. So these guys share some great jewels. I mean, whether we're talking about WWE, we're talking about Prince, we're talking about Bobby Brown, we're talking about Benzino, we're talking about the origins of YBI. It's all unpacked in this interview. So make sure you guys check out episode 68 on Motown Mafia Podcast, and that's at Big Boss Filmworks. And we want to make sure that everybody's up to speed. So if you guys are not familiar with the legend of Pep, which would mean that you're not definitely from these parts, but he's got a great book out. It is Bound by Honor, Torn by Greed, The True and Untold Story of Young Boys Incorporated by Pepsi and Pix. It is a great read. You're going to recognize all kinds of names of people, because all the people you see on TV are mentioned in here, and it gives the real history of YBI from a guy who was there from its inception. And then, of course, we have Motown Mafia, Memoirs of a Kingpin's Kid by yours truly, which really, you know, tells you about Detroit in its heyday in the 70s. Then you got Pep's book getting you into what happened in Detroit in the late 70s and the 80s. So I think you read these two books and you definitely will have a pulse on how this town got to be this town. And so once again, that's Bound by Honor, Torn by Greed, The True and Untold Story of Young Boys Incorporated, told by Pepsi and Pix. And then you got Motown Mafia, of course. This led to the award-winning documentary, which is available on Tubi and Amazon Prime, Motown Mafia, the story of Eddie Jackson and Courtney Brown. We also want to give a shout out and give the family a heads up. Check out Real Talk with Pepsi and Skip. It's been a long time in the waiting. These guys have finally got the thing going together. So again, These guys are as real as they come, and they've just had some insights and some experiences that are really kind of in elite class. So again, check out the podcast. You guys can search it online. That's Real Talk with Pepsi and Skip. Also check out on your Instagram and I think Facebook feed also Luxury Mar. That's Pep's son. He's doing some great stuff. They've got the YBI coat. They've got the YBI cap and some other great YBI, some classic stuff associated with that whole movement. So make sure you guys are doing all that above. Again, the doc based off this book, award-winning book, available at Amazon Prime and on Tubi TV, and you got Pep's book, which is available on Amazon, so along with Motown Mafia. So check them out. It's your man, CRB Jr., Motown Mafia Podcast, Big Boss Filmworks, doing what we do. Make sure you check out episode 68 and 69 coming behind that, and that's gonna be more of the interview. So we got a whole series coming, but you need to start off with the beginning of the series so you don't miss any of it. So that's episode 68. I'll let you, man.
Cut. I won.
In a drug case, you had everything videotaped. Throwing money out down south.
The young kids
killing people.
I had never heard of them before.
It was country out there.
Yeah, I've never heard of them before.
But see, like I said, everybody get that misconstrued with the with our era. Chadwick Brothers were cocaine cowboys.
Yeah.
They didn't deal with the boy.
Yes.
The boy a different game, a different animal. A different animal, man. It's dog eat dog in that motherfucker for real. See, the soft people can get in the cocaine game. That's why the cocaine niggas, the connect came and gave it to the soft niggas. They wouldn't give it to the niggas that was wrong. But they think we might take it. We might take the bag. So they go give it to a Southfield kid. and put him on top. You know what I'm saying? Because he ain't worried about this. I can intimidate you a little bit and get my money. But I ain't going to take it down there in the city and take 100 keys to a beast. That nigga might say, fuck me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Take the bag. You know what I'm saying?
True enough.
So, you know, that's how that was, man. You know what I'm saying? So that's why you see a lot of, when I say preppies, that's doing time and Ronnie got killed. Ronnie, though. They weren't street guys, but the cocaine made a lot of people that wasn't supposed to be street people, street people.
We got to talk about that, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Seriously, you know what I'm saying? See, like you said, at one time, I don't know if it was today or one time I heard you speak, you know what I'm saying, about the dog food, the game. You know what I'm saying? It was only very few people. The connects only had a few people that they give this shit to in the streets. There's only few cliques that ran the city.
That's a fact.
See, cocaine came in, it made everybody, it really fucked the game up.
Oh, for sure.
But it made everybody a boss. You can take an 8-ball.
And come up.
Because all you got to do is,
and really,
all you got to do is rock it up, right, and come back right and chop it up. It's pure. Dopamine's gonna eat that up. The crackhead's gonna eat that up. Heroin, man, it's more complex. You gotta put the right number on it.
But see,
all this shit, you know, you fuck your bag up.
I don't know if you ever thought about it. You got to.
Y'all just seen that dog food naked when it ain't that known.
Yeah.
Dude, the South Park got indicted with took a 60. A 60. I put a 58 on it and almost killed people. I took one gram of heroin and put 58 grams on it. And I was getting nines on the ratings. Because the niggas couldn't even make it. If I would have put a 59 on it, I would have killed people. That's the one got us indicted.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a setup all the time. No ear fall for the bait.
It was too good,
Pastor. He wanted the best. The big man always wanted the best. He wanted nothing less but the best.
And you can talk.
We already had shit doing a 20. I put a 20 on it.
So the shit that was taking a 58 was the shit you got from
Mexico, from Richard Canales, right?
Oh.
Yeah, the Mexican. But all the time, the feds giving it to him to give to us.
I got
the bait, the big man.
Yeah.
You know, they couldn't figure out how he was getting this money to fix up Geneva, Cortland, and all this. They couldn't figure it. We getting the dope from the Italian nigga and Stanley Fit.
But the first bank y'all was running through was that Skag that was coming out of Thailand.
Yeah, well, that shit little Eddie talking about 100 keys. Nigga, I couldn't move no 100 fucking keys, no shit that strong, man. He wasn't even out here. It took all the time he was out here to even get close to moving that shit. At 50,000 a day. It's taking numbers. It's taking numbers, dog. It's different. If I was selling straight up, raw like that, yeah, weight, yeah. But we street selling.
Yo, what's back, yo?
100 keys, though, of some shit doing a 50 or a 30 or 40. Come on, man.
But that first
I couldn't even do that.
Was the first bag y'all got, we got from the big man, it was better than the bag that the Italians had that y'all ran through?
Or similar symbol?
Let me think on that. Let me really think on that. The first bag of 83 when I met the big man. Is we on camera?
Yeah.
All right, listen. The first bag when I got it from the big man, Tracy Sledge called me and said somebody wanted to meet you. I was on Foster Schoolcraft at my man Nardi house. God bless his soul. You know what I'm saying? And I got the call of the Dairy Queen around the corner of Foss and Schoolcraft. I told them to meet me up there. So they told me what time. I met them up there. I pull up in my car. I jump in Eddie's car. Tracy in the front seat. I jump in the back. He said, my name is Eddie Jackson. I say, pleased to meet you. I've heard a lot about you, sir, because I respect him, because my grandmother, I heard my grandmother talk about this man. My grandmother was in the card club where they play poker and all that, and they gamble.
Right, right.
And they dope parties. You know what I'm saying? So, of course, the drug dealers and the pimps come to those games and play cards. But that was the after hour joints, basically for carding. So anyways, he said, I heard that you can, this is Eddie talking. He said, I heard you can move product. I said, I can do a little something, you know what I'm saying? Hey, so listen, I want to give you 50 quarters. $1,000 a quarter, that's 50,000. I just meet this man.
Mm-hmm.
And he say, I'm going to give you 50 quarters. What can you do with him? At this time, you know what I'm saying, I'm just school teacher who I was with when my man got demise came. He was out.
And just tell people when you say, man, you're talking about the
WW. My man. Right. My success. You know, my,
that's one of your mentors.
Yeah, my mentors. You know what I'm saying? So, I say, yeah, I can handle it, man. I can move it. I say, but Mr. Jackson, just like that, I say, Mr. Jackson, I'm going to tell you right now, before you here in the streets, I'm leaving town. I'm going to Boston. I'm not gonna be here, so I don't want nobody to tell you think I ran off with your bag. You know what I'm saying? And he said, I don't care how you do this, pay the ticket.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I say, my man. And that was history from then.
You took the first business you did with him was 50 quarters.
50 quarters, only $50. He didn't even know me from Adam. But I guess, you know what I'm saying, he coming home.
Right.
He needs somebody to move shit.
For
and
sure.
Tracy, you know, he went to Tracy. Because Eddie and, you know, look, Tracy's the date Eddie's IT.
That's right.
Lisa. You know what I'm saying? He used to work at Michelin Chemical Company. You know what I'm saying? And Lisa and them used to stay right across the, it was like a dead end in the factory. It was right there. And I used to drop Tracy off. He used to have a little car. You know, we 15 years old, 16, and he Tracy 2 years older than me. So he got a girl pregnant, his mama made him marry her. He had to get a job. They had that type of family.
Yeah.
Mother and father together. I ain't had no mother and father. I had a mother and a grandfather and a grandmother. You know what I'm saying?
Y'all so live across the street from each other, right?
Yeah, we lived diagonally across the street from each other. So, you know, we was good friends. I'm his younger brother's age.
Shout out Scott.
To Scott. You know what I'm saying? But Scott and I used to play with Scott and Nate, and they always just wanted to give me, because my mom and them couldn't afford it. Because my grandfather, he thought he was, he did move us in a better neighborhood, not knowing that 5 blocks away was
about to be
something different. You know what I'm saying?
Headquarters for a whole situation.
The whole situation.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So she had, you know, she, my mother, you know what I'm saying? They the ones that raised me. And you know what I'm saying? It made me the person that became. So Scott and them, they used to always give me the broke G.I. Joes and Action Jacksons and the Hot Wheels, the bit wheels and shit. I got tired of that shit, man. So I started hanging with Tracy because they playing football and basketball. This how I learned. You need only one thing for the basketball. Everybody can play. You know what I'm saying? Football, right. You know what I'm saying? Everybody can play. Baseball, they had their gloves. The outfield come in, and we go out and pick up the gloves. Just use a left-hander, you might have been kind of, you know, off. So but most people
let's
right.
Go. Wait a minute. So by the time let's go back to the 50 quarters.
All right, 50 quarters.
You take the 50 quarters to where?
To Boston.
Now, how did you even know about working in Boston?
Well, that comes from, you know, being with WW, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, a situation that came, you know what I'm saying, arose where I had to leave Detroit, you know what I'm saying? And he didn't have nowhere to send me, you know what I'm saying, send me. So, you know what I'm saying, he had sent a team out there before. And then my man Blood was the one that discovered Boston. But anyways, that's another story.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying, but he sent a team out there that failed the mission.
It didn't work out.
You know, I don't want to give no names.
But it just didn't.
It didn't work out.
The deal didn't go right.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, push ahead. They come home, failed mission. He ain't thinking about going back there no more. But at this time, I'm one of his top people in his organization.
and a situation gonna occur where I had to leave. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, W, what are we gonna do here? And he thought about, well, listen, I got a place, man, it's a way away from home. But I can get you away from here, you know what I'm saying? And he sent me out there and gave me a sack.
And as I recall in your book, great book, by the way, people, Bound by Honor, Torn by Greed.
The True and Untold Story of the Young Boys Incorporated, told by Pepsi and Pix.
And Pix. All right, so yeah, you make sure that's a great book. Great. I done read all the books about this life and that book right up there. So you take the first bag, come back. Obviously, it'll work out for you. The 50 quarters work out in Boston.
Yeah, the 50 quarters work out in Boston. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, after that, you know what I'm saying? I was fortunate than most people, you understand, that was in the game. I had two cities. Back in 81, 82, that was unheard of. I guarantee ain't a guy in the drug game can say in 81, 82 that they was going, taking over no city, nowhere. They might have been getting a bag from New York or California, but as far as y'all was going, y'all wasn't even going, niggas wasn't even going to Kalamazoo, Muskegon. I was sent 700 miles away from home and took the whole city. Not by weight. I sold blows, packs. I went project by project in Boston.
So when you come back, pay the big man your ticket, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
And y'all keep working together, but you don't go back to Boston.
Because, you know, I had an option. You know, home was always my first. So since the blow was so good in Boston, let me come home and see, let me take my city. And exactly what I've done. Took my city. You know what I'm saying? East, west, north, south. You know what I'm saying? I was doing 50,000 a day.
Now, we're going to have your man, Skip, going to join us a little bit later. But just what's this? He's sitting in on us. Another Detroit legend, Skip. Was y'all working together yet?
Not yet.
No, that's not yet. Excuse me. That's when I first got with you, when you went to Boston.
Yeah, when I went first with the Boston. Okay. See, Wayne, I met Skip and T through Wayne. That's my 8 mile connection. Okay. Through Wayne.
We're gonna get to that when we all link up. So now at this time, cause you know in your run in the building of the Legend of Pep, some of the hottest cars. Was you around when and I know Skip, you would definitely be a thing, when WWE, I think, man, it's like he was one of the first people that brought Prince to the city.
Yes. Yes. Okay. And when he was there with Softer, had the Softer wet out. What are you asking?
No, you remember that?
Oh, yeah. I left going to Boston for a Prince concert. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, this is kind of history.
The night I left going to Boston, me and WW was backstage at a Prince concert at Masonic Temple that he had brought to the city. And that's the night I had to leave. We left out on a red eye going to Boston.
Leaving the Prince concert.
Left the 6.9 in the parking lot at the airport.
Ten of the still there parked the trip.
Oh, no, the trip to Boston. Well, I had never been to Boston, of course, but I got to leave the city for whatever reasons. You know what I'm saying? So he'll take me to Boston. We get on the plane. We go to Boston. Back then, it was an airline called Republic Airlines. Now, I think it was renamed to Northwest.
Yeah.
So we took Republican Airline to Boston. We got there around 11:30, 12. You know what I'm saying? I've never rode on a subway or anything like that. Well, we don't even do buses no more in Detroit. We either in a cab or we got a car. You know what I'm saying? Because we get money. You know what I'm saying? We don't ride buses. We ain't kids. You know what I'm saying? So we are kids, but we ain't kids. You know what I'm saying? We feel we grown. We get money. So we get off the airplane, we come out, we get on a bus. We go to the Blue Line. You know what I'm saying? Then we get off the bus and we at a train station, it's the Orange Line, and it takes us into Boston. I never rode subway in my life. I ain't been no farther. The farthest I ever been in my life was down south, and I was a kid with my mother and them to my family reunion. Mm-hmm. Then
Then before then, after that, it was Pontiac. And that's why I was up in Pontiac rolling. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, not knowing that Pontiac... See, let me just say this. I gotta say I've been fortunate as far as streets. It's not maybe not a good thing, but I have been fortunate. All my experiences in my young childhood coming up, being in the streets, prepared me for Boston, and I didn't know it. I'm saying, because Pontiac was a city outside our city in Detroit. And I was sitting out there by Bone Man, God rest his soul, a good man. You know what I'm saying?
Now, that name, he's kind of a famous name around these parts. But you say that he is one, because people always speak of Butch Jones, Raymond Peebles, W.W., Wonderful Wayne, as the founders of the Young
Boys. So you get that wrong. Butch Jones nor Raymond Peebles was the founder of the YBI. See, let me straighten the record out right now.
Yeah, you know.
The founders of the YBI was Bone Man, Charles Lindsay, Joyce E. Chuck, you know what I'm saying? W.W. Wonderful Wayne, and Reginald Chestnut, which is E.O. Nutt. Those are the founders. Joyce E. Chuck, when Raymond caught the Living Noise 5 case for the so-called murder of a white man, when Raymond came, beat the case, and came home, that's when Chuck introduced Raymond to the gang, gave him his first quarter of heroin. Raymond's always been an elder to them, so that's why Chuck done it when he came home. You know what I'm saying? Introducing that this is what's going on now, Raymond. You've been in the county jail for a year and a half, 2 years. This is what's going on now. You know what I'm saying? And Raymond being who Raymond is, Baby Ray is Baby Ray. He's a boss from day one. He took it to another level. He coined the phrase YBI.
Who coined the phrase YBI?
Raymond Peebles did.
Raymond Peebles coined that?
Yeah. And he got it from when he sent guys like, before I got down in 70, he sent Brett and them down to the Cass Corridor, downtown on Earth and all that. It was unheard of for young 15, 16-year-olds to be down there hustling down in the corridor when it's all old heads, Frank Usher and them, all them people down there, they had old dope fiends down there working. You know what I'm saying? So when young people went down there, Raymond's started spreading them around the city. See, that was what's so unique about this YBI. Raymond took us and started spreading us around. Now Wayne took a hold and started with his part of the crew and spread us. But anyways, he spread us downtown. This is when we was all still together. Wayne and all of them were still together. They split in the bag doing this. He sent them downtown, and he got a strong blow. And it's no name on it. It's just coin and blows. There's no name on the blow at this time. But the blow is so good, dope fiends nod on the corner. The other dope fiends right up talking about, man, where'd you get that blow from? Man, them young boys down there on the corner, man, they got it. Yeah. And Raymond heard that, and he coined the name and put it on the rubber stamp. Young Boys, Inc. You know what I'm saying? That's how Young Boys was started with the name.
But you just mentioned Brett Goodwin, R.I.P. I'm speaking earlier about his brother. Tell us about some memories about Brett and how you and Brett come across each other.
Well, I stayed on Leslie, man. You know what I'm saying? And it was a part of the neighborhood was claimed to be like, sort of like the will to do.
It was.
Spoiled kids and all that.
Nice houses on Leslie.
Yeah, exactly. Nice houses. My mother stayed on the corner. We stayed on the corner. We had a 6-bedroom house, 3 stories high. You know what I'm saying? Maid quarters and all that.
Yeah.
But, you know what I'm saying? That's the appearance. You know what I'm saying? My grandfather worked at Ford. He moved us off Warren in Northfield, trying to give us a better life. You know what I'm saying? But it was hard. It was a check-to-check job for him. It wasn't no extras. You feel what I'm saying? It wasn't no extras because, you know what I'm saying, even though he wanted better for us, you know what I'm saying, it wasn't a lot for us to have. Because he had to pay that note, even though the note wasn't number maybe $300 a month. You got to figure, back in 1970, shit, a factory worker probably wouldn't make it, but
you know, say $250 a week. $300 a week. You know what I'm saying?
So where did Brednum live? Y'all met at school?
Brednum stayed on the end where all the
action was
at. The middle of the neighborhood. You know what I'm saying? Where all the action is at. And actually, Brednum came up. He came up with a mother and a father.
Yeah.
And all that. I didn't have a mother and a father. I had a mother and a grandfather. You know what I'm saying? And an aunt and a grandmother. But, so, you know, just to say all that, you know what I'm saying? When, you know, my grandfather thought we was moving. Which we did move in a better neighborhood. You know what I'm saying? And we were down, you know, just shortly from where all the action was. You know what I'm saying? And hold on, can you cut that for a minute?
Yeah.
Cut it for a minute.
You was talking
about Brett. Yeah, because I get through all. All right, now, where did I cut off from?
You was telling us kind of how I wanted to know how you met Brett and how y'all ended up working together.
Okay, all right, come on.
Right. Ready?
Go ahead. So, Brett and them used to come in my neighborhood and terrorize. You know what I'm saying? Because they're from the other end. You know what I'm saying? So, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, the question was, you know, about what you asked about, you know, saying, you know, it was a well-to-do neighborhood. Yeah, it was good, but we were living out our means. My grandfather, it was no extras. Okay. You know what I'm saying? So, Brendan used to come down there and terrorize. So, you know what I'm saying? They used to come down there just, you know, and I'm the only one stood up for myself down there. I fought back. So, when Tracy was my man, because I remember I told you a story about his brother, his little brother, which is my age. Tracy's older than me. But because they used to give me the broke toys to play with, man, I was sick of that. I can play with them, play basketball and football. If I didn't play with them, I wouldn't know how to play basketball or football, none of that. Because Scott can't play a lick of ball now, football, basketball, nothing.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But Tracy know how to play.
Yeah.
So that, because I went with the older cats. Because I can get a
glove. Brett was older. Brett older than you?
Yeah, Brett older. Brett 2-3 years older than me.
Okay.
I've always been the youngest in the YBI as far as leadership. Me and Timmy Peoples.
Y'all about the same age?
We same age. Timmy's birthday is coming up in March. If I'm not mistaken. The Slim. You know, it's coming up in March. That's my main man.
Shout out.
My good friend to this day. You know what I'm saying?
Another legend in this town.
So, yeah. Tracy disappeared on me. I come out looking for Tracy, you know what I'm saying? I ain't got used to hanging with Tracy. And we, it used to be a green Granada. It used to ride around the neighborhood. Everybody knew that was Raymond Peoples Granada, money green. He bought a money green. He had to paint it money green with a white top. You know what I'm saying? I guess that was simple to get money.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know what I'm saying? Everybody knew that car. And one morning, I got up early enough to catch Tracy getting picked up from his mama's house. I'm like, okay. I still don't understand. But I know he's riding with them boys down on the other end, which, you know, I don't want to have no part of them. You know what I'm saying?
So, you know, let's be clear. You looking at what they doing down the street at that time.
I don't know what they doing. They bullies. I know they fucking bullies.
They're bullies, and you ain't fucking with them.
Yeah, I ain't fucking.
You don't know that that's about to be YBI and that you about to be.
No, I don't know. I don't know none of that. So, I hang around my house about maybe 5-6 o'clock that evening. Tracy get dropped back off in the Granada. I couldn't wait. Like, what's up, Tracy? Hey, wait, man, where you been? I ain't seen you, man. 2, 3, 4, 5 days. What's going on? Man, I've been, you know, on the other end doing things. What you doing? And, you know, we don't need to talk about it. He said, I keep pressing him. I'm younger than him. Tracy's about 2 years older than me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? He said, man, what you want to know? Come on, go down there with me. Oh, hell no. I ain't going.
Because those guys are bullies.
Man, I ain't going down there, man. You know what I'm saying? So he convinced me. He said, listen, you go down there with me. I was never worried about, you know, fighting, but they didn't never fight fair. They all jumped on you. I've seen it with Chestnut. I've seen it going through Winter Hart and all that. I've seen it. You know what I'm saying? I know they don't fight fair. They don't play fair at all. I might start a fight with one, but before the end of it, I'm getting stomped out by 20 niggas, you know what I'm saying? No, I ain't going to. Tracy reassured me, and I believe in Tracy. This was my friend. That if you go down, ain't going to let nothing happen to you. But I said, all right, fuck it. I'm going to go home. Fuck it. So we started walking up Atassi, going towards Martindale.
By the time we get to Sturtevant, between Sturtevant and Cortland, he say, well, listen, when we get there, if anybody step at you, now you're going to have to stand up for yourself. I'm like, hold on, man. Hold on, man. Shit, you ain't say all that back then, man. You say you got my back, you know what I'm saying? You mean I'm going to have to fight? He say, just if somebody steps in, I ain't going to let everybody jump on you. Man, I can't turn around. So I go on here, balls get tight. I go on up in there. You know what I'm saying? Sure enough, I was standing up there literally, Courtney. Well, Martindale, man, I heard so much of Martindale, man, and Brett and all them, Jeannie Boy and all these come down and terrorize me. I seen them beat my friends up. You know what I'm saying? And I used to stand up for myself, and I seen when I stood up for myself, they'd back off. They'd like somebody jump at you and you don't jump. And okay, we ain't gonna try this. Plus, I always been big for my age. You know what I'm saying? And thankfully, my mama had sent me the Crocs when we stayed on Northfield in like 68 before we moved over in 70.
So you know how to use your hands?
Yeah, I didn't know how to use my hands. I used to get my ass beat at Crocs. I didn't want to go no more. I got knocked dizzy so many times in that motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? Before Manuel Stewart was there. You know what I'm saying? But I did learn how to use my hands, not knowingly. Like a lot of things in the game, I didn't know I was getting schooled for my adventures in my future. That I endeavored, you know what I'm saying, in the game. The shit I was going through in the streets at my low level of rank in the wild beyond, I didn't know it was training me for when W got killed. That I was gonna become the boss, a boss. You know what I'm saying? So just like my mother, see, my mother knew, I didn't know. She knew I was light skinned, I was gonna have problems. Light skinned wasn't in back then, just being honest.
Yeah, so they thought you were soft.
Thought I was soft. Let me ask you this, man. Get off the. Most people, say for instance, ain't none of y'all black, but you dark. Niggas see you and Skip on the street and want to pick with a nigga. You know what they going to pick with?
They're going at Skip.
Exactly. They think you a beast because you dark.
Yeah.
And my mama know that. Knew I was going to have trouble. And she sent me the cross line. I used my hands. I didn't know it until I went on Martindale and I had to start using my hands.
So that's where you and Brett, that instant you tell me when Tracy take you down, and that's kind of where you and him.
Well, I started hanging with Tracy and Brett, and then was Tracy, Jenny Boy, and then was Tracy and them friends. So by me hanging with Tracy, I had to hang with Jeannie Boy and Brett now. You know what I'm saying? So that's how me and Brett now started getting close.
We're gonna take a 5-minute break. Big call.
Yeah.
All right. Because we're approaching 30 minutes.
Right. We can keep rolling. We're
at 29. Take a break.
On there, that's fine. You can take a break.
You're doing great.
What's next? You gotta give us something on this because y'all great kill this man.
I don't have access to it.
What I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? You know. I don't do this, man. I'm doing this, man, on the strength of you. You know what I'm saying? And you know, because, you know, I've been, since you played Eddie, you know what I'm saying? And this is probably the only one I ever
I know. Well, I've been asking you for 5 years.
Yeah, this will be the only one I probably give after this, other than me and Skip little thing. Which is
but you got to give yourself more.
We about to give a shout out now to
recording in progress.
Yeah, because
you'll go about this probably happening.
When Al posts this on his shit, I post this shit.
Talk yeah, I know.
Probably gonna be monetized.
Yeah, like,
right. Instantly.
Yeah.
Instantly. Okay. And did you want to do a setup piece just to, you know?
I can do it.
You don't have to.
All right.
We're ready.
All right. Back to it, Mr. Cooper. So a couple of things we was off camera. We was talking about Livernois 5. You were saying. That was a situation where some guys from your neighborhood, you're younger.
I can't say all the names. I know them, but no, I just say one name, Raymond Peoples, that stand out. Okay. You know what I'm saying? They was accused of killing a white man. You know, first of all, the situation happened at a bar in Livernois where a white man had killed a young black teenager at his bar. And it started a little riot. So in the midst of the riot, a white man got killed, got bricked to death. And they accused 5 young men out of my neighborhood. One name I would name is Raymond Peoples, one of my mentors. And they was on trial for the, and it was called Living Noise 5. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, people, you know what I'm saying, you know, we young blacks, we don't, you know, we don't know. This first, you know, like I said, I can't put myself all the way into the intricacies of it, but I end up being and a part of it as it evolved. You know what I'm saying? So, when they got picked up for it, you know what I'm saying, you know, black, we didn't, you know, they didn't know, I'm going to say they at this time, didn't know what to do. White people, all white people ain't bad, I'm going to put it like that. Okay. They came on Martindale because they knew where these kids was from, because two or three of them lived on Martindale at the time. And pulled up, and it was nervier than to do it, because they coming over here in the hood and rolling down their windows, you know what I'm saying? And told the you know, like Timmy and all of them that was over there on the block, mm-hmm. if y'all want to help, you know, y'all brothers or whatever it is, I can't say exactly what they said, how they said it, you know what I'm saying? Make picket signs and start picketing at Frank Murphy, having protesters. So Timmy, as me and Raymond, the little brother and Timmy, always been, you know what I'm saying, educated, but he went to boarding school, you know what I'm saying? He took a heave to it and took it to that level. Started having people make picket signs and everybody, he had the bullhorn, you know what I'm saying? I went to Bernie Elementary with Timmy, you know what I'm saying? I didn't know him as well, but we were cool, you know what I'm saying? But by him, and it being in my neighborhood, and they used to protest in my park at Russell Woods Park, right up at the corner of my block, I just felt, you know what I'm saying, you know, where I should just join in. And I'd be out there yelling, free to live, noise, fine. You know what I'm saying? I was young then, I couldn't catch the bus in downtown, but they would be in front of Frank Murphy with the picket signs. You know what I'm saying? Free to live, noise, fine. Anyways, Raymond got acquitted on it and came home. You know what I'm saying? At that time, when Raymond left, he was actually, I think, if I'm not mistaken, working at Ford Motor Company or one of the big three. And his day was selling weed on the side.
So keep following up. Let's talk, what's your memories, thoughts of Raymond's personality?
Oh, man, Raymond, baby Ray. Man, listen. First of all, I'm going to get this out. He was no one to play with. You know what I'm saying? Raymond had a certain type of charm about him, man, that it ain't about charming women. He can charm young men. And I ain't talking about it in a sexual way. You know what I'm saying? Charm a young man to want to work for him and don't get paid. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he had and would do it again. Even though I'm not going to work for him no more. I ain't get paid. And Raymond come back. And Raymond had a thing where he would roll. He put in 30-day rolls, 60-day rolls. When I say rolls, he'd grind. From one day to 30 days, and he'd cut off. He'd make $200,000-$300,000, boom. He'd gone. Take him on vacation, might not be back, whatever, you know what I'm saying? You know, and at that point, we were taught in the 10th precinct in my neighborhood, there's only two ways we hustle. We sold dope, and if we didn't have a bag, we kicking your dope joint in, we robbing you. That's the only way we knew how to, you know, and you go through my neighborhood to this day. It's the only thing we know. We're not going to starve. And Raymond used to leave us starving. So you know, we didn't kick to the lot. Don't come in our neighborhood. Don't nobody come in our neighborhood instead of putting a bag down unless you wipe out. Go through the history of it. Until cocaine came along, don't nobody put a bag down in our neighborhood. But we put a bag down in everybody's neighborhood. Warning Garland, Brewster's, Jeffries, Little Jeffries, Warning Mac, Buffalo Projects, Herman Gardens, you can't tell. If you tell us we can't slang, then it's a problem. Ain't nobody slanging.
So was Raymond one of the first leaders to really start having y'all go different
neighborhoods? Yes, without a doubt.
That was Raymond.
Without a doubt. He'd drop us off like, man, paratroopers. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying just drop us off in the neighborhood. Listen, pass off these bows. I mean, he dropped me off over on, it was Frank Nitti, Usher's spot. He just got them beheaded, them motherfuckers. Okay.
That's the Democratic Club beheaded.
Yeah, listen, sure. It was a pool hall over there. Was it McCullen? If I'm not mistaken, McCullen. I'm scared to death, man. I've heard about Frank Usher. This is all on the news. And everybody said this Frank Usher area. And he dropped us over there, man, in the pool hall. Because back then, man, these young guys don't know what hustling is, man. We was better than the postman. The postman take a break. Man, we didn't have sick days. It could be 20 below zero.
Y'all out there.
Man, we got barrels burning with fire to keep our hands warm. We out there every day, rolling. You know what I'm saying? We built this city as far as the street game. You know what I'm saying? Nobody hustled like us. That's why we was able to go to everybody's neighborhood and take over. Before Benny Siegel's and them come with that shit, get on the lay down, that was us. The toughest niggas in every neighborhood, they got down or laid down. And they got down. Because it was money involved. You know what I'm saying? Don't be no fool. Don't get your life taken or get maimed. You know what I'm saying? When you can make some money. You know what I'm saying? Few did.
So when y'all went to other neighborhoods, some guys from that neighborhood was willing to work with y'all.
The toughest worked with us. Yeah. The toughest worked with us. We ran the Brewsters, we ran the Big Jeffers, we ran the Little Jeffers, we ran the Buffalo, we ran the Herman Guards, we ran Warren Garland, Maggie B. Wick, you know what I'm saying? Woodrow Wilson and Wilson, Hamilton and Burlingame. We was everywhere. We was making $300,000 a day.
Now, is that under Raymond leadership? WW leadership, Butch,
that was the three leaders together.
So it was a brief period, a calm. And obviously when there's peace, there's more money to be made.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. When it was the calm, it was the calm. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? And like I say, I work for everyone, and that's why I can talk about each and every. I was an intricate part of each one of them's organization at one time or another.
So let's go on. So of them three, first boss was Raymond.
What, huh?
First boss was Raymond.
Fars, which me.
And he just boss. Reoriented his chair. Do you have the cameras aiming at him?
He's my fault. My fault.
That's okay. Fine. I got him right.
So Raymond was kind of the first boss.
The first one that organized us. Then the other bosses from that point, the founders,
right?
They all failed, except for WW.
So let's talk about
Chestnut with the jail for murder. I always reference them before I got into it as Once Upon a Time in America. The four boys that were skipping.
Mm-hmm.
Chestnut was Bugsy. He the one went to jail.
Right.
And the rest of them was Miles Lansky and all them.
Right.
Wayne, and, you know what I'm saying? Wayne was Miles Lansky, the big man.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
So what's your earliest memories of Wayne?
Seeing Wayne walk past my house, him, Chestnut, Bone Man, and Chuck. They used to walk past my house because Wayne, his father stayed on Tyler. He's from the township, but he left his mother and started living down in the neighborhood. And they used to walk past my house when they was first started working in the dope joints. We used to call them joints. You know what I'm saying? Back in the day, he was working in a dope joint. You know what I'm saying? They was come down, all four of them. They be suited up. These kids are like 15 years. They suited up with glass heels on and suits, walking up past my house there on the corner of Petoskey. And they walk to go into Martindale. You know what I'm saying? Chuck them come pick up Wayne. They ain't driving at this point. They walking, but they suited every day. See, we grew up watching Cagney, Bogey, and all that. We had the white gangsters to admire. Cagney and them. They always was suited. You know what I'm saying? That's how Detroit got their swagger. You know what I'm saying? Because we always watched the old gangster movies. And we wanted to be like them. You know what I'm saying? Suits. So
Raymond took y'all kind of to some neighborhoods, and WW was taking you out of state.
Yeah, WW was, you know what I'm saying, like I said, you can fact check all you want. And if a guy ain't, huh?
Now you know that story too about Pontiac?
Yeah,
you
the
what? You was one of the first YBI guys to go up to Pontiac?
Oh yeah, I took Pontiac over. My endeavors throughout my soldiering through the YBI prepared me for Wayne's demise, and I didn't know it. Because Pontiac was like out of town to me. And I went up to Pontiac for Bone Man.
Because y'all was kids.
I went up there for Bone Man and took over Pontiac. I ran all of Pontiac. You know what I'm saying?
So this before, this long, this before Boston.
This before Boston. This before with Wayne again. All this.
And all up in you and Pontiac.
I'm in Pontiac. I went up there for Bone Man.
You said that's where you cut your teeth at.
And that's where, not knowing that Pontiac was preparing me for Boston. Because the same strategy I used in Pontiac, I used in Boston. Because I was out of town. That was like out of town to me, 35 minutes away from Detroit. I'm out of town. I got my wife, which was my wife then, was my woman, Lisa. I'm renting hotels up Woodward because he's at the Sheraton up Woodward in Pontiac. I have 3-4 rooms, Lil Coon and all of us up there. We got our girls up there. And we party so hard, they put us out.
Now, a guy who would become famous, you would cross paths with in Boston, entertainer by the name of Bobby Brown.
Yeah, well, Bobby, you know what I'm saying? When I met Bobby, I met him through Yancey. Yin Yang. We named him Yin Yang in Boston. He was like 13 years old when I recruited him. Shout out to Yin Yang.
You know that man too?
Oh, yeah.
My man.
So.
Yeah. Oh, we got to remember.
Yeah. You know, that was his man. They used to, see, when we got to Boston, I got to Columbia before. I was fortunate enough. And they was just as blessed for me to even drop in their projects. Columbia Point. And it was renamed the CPD, Columbia Point Dogs. You know what I'm saying? You know, Detroit, that's a Detroit thing. Everything a dog in Detroit. So we put the D on it. Y'all the Columbia Point Dogs now. You know what I'm saying? So, you know what I'm saying? Bobby come out there. This is before the talent show. He was a shoplifter. You shoplifted Jordan Marsh in Boston. Jordan Marsh was like Hudson's to us in Boston. They used to shoplift. Just smoke some weed with Bobby, whatever. And he was always in a group, which was New Edition. And one day they won this talent show. And it was on from there. And then Bobby went on from there. You know, New Edition blew up.
Blew up.
You know what I'm saying? That's why my wife got pictures with Bobby. And then Skip, you got the young Skip with pictures with Bobby and the old Skip with pictures. But we took, when Bobby came in town, 5 years ago? He left us tickets at the gate.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Whenever he comes,
holler at us. You know what I'm saying? He was actually talking about making the movie. You know what I'm saying? But, you know.
Yeah. He was on the plane one day reading a book.
Well, no. Michael Bibbins was reading the book.
And Michael Bibbins was
reading your book?
He's reading my book.
Okay.
And he said, Bobby, you in this book?
He said, you know these guys, man, you in this book. And that's when they...
He called Bobby, called up. See, because Seal was about... Seal Dawshaw was about to marry Bobby's sister before he got killed.
But that was Yancey woman first.
Yeah, Yancey woman first.
And that's how they got back in touch with us. Carol called.
Yeah. They'll go with you.
This brother Seal, I believe we should be saying RIP.
Yeah.
Because he ended up passing away, but Bobby was around. He was in Bobby's car, something like that.
His demise came in the Rolls Royce that was on the set of The Bodyguard with Whitney Houston and Kevin Costner. Kevin Costner gave Whitney Houston that Rolls Royce for his gratitude for being in that movie with him. And Bobby was driving that night, you know what I'm saying, at the club when... I'm not going to speak names, but the guy that used to be with me back in Boston, when I was in Boston, was the one that killed Seal.
In the car?
In the car next to Bobby.
Next to Bobby.
Yeah.
In the Bentley that?
In the Bentley.
That Kevin Costner.
Gabe Whitney.
So Hollywood in the streets then straight can murder.
Yes,
right now.
Yes. And see, everybody got it misconstrued with Seal Dawshaw. Seal Dog Shot never have, I don't like saying never, he hasn't ever met WW. WW had died before Seal became part of my organization in Boston. They got on there saying that Seal came to Detroit as WW's bodyguard. No, he came to Detroit as my bodyguard.
Yeah, that's on that Wikipedia page.
Listen, I stationed him at my mama's house to protect my family. I brought him from Boston because he was raised, I had a house called the Castle. I'm going to tell you this how this went. Skip. So listen, this how this went. When I got to Boston, of course, Seal, his family disbanded him. He was in a boys' home. He only come home on the weekends. And he, on the weekend, he'd come home and at Sunday, he'd be at the bus stop, catching the bus home, back to the boys' home. So, Columbia Point was and still is the richest land in Boston. Because it had Columbia Point Project, CPD, Columbia Point Dogs. Yes. You know what I'm saying? Got JFK Library sits on that island. UMass College sit on that island. And that project is only one way. It used to be only one way in and one way out. Into the back was nothing but the ocean. You could only turn around and get back out one way. And that was my cubbyhole. That's why I was so protected in that project. You know what I'm saying? You know, so, you know what I'm saying? Saying all that, you know what I'm saying? That, you know, I lost my
okay, so now we're going back to, so your man Yancey, demise.
Seal. So, yeah, what I was saying is, they got on Wikipedia and all that, that Seal came. Seal, a lot of these guys, Wayne, had never met. I got in Boston in the beginning of 82, February of 82. Wayne died in September.
So for a minute, you had brought a few of those guys from Boston, I know.
Only brought two home before Wayne died. That was Kid.
And Fly Guy?
No, Fly Guy come from.
Listen.
I met Fly Guy. I was very protective over Boston. Yeah. It's only six people ever from Detroit ever been to. Ain't nobody ever been to Boston since I've been there from Detroit to roll.
Man, let me just get insight. The reason why Boston was such a big factor, not only in Wayne's life, but in his, Boston sold a pack of dope, sold for $12 in Detroit. Mm-hmm. The same exact pack of dope sold for $40 in Boston. They would sell half a packs for $20.
And they would call rips.
Rips.
Listen, Boston, wow. That's why they couldn't understand when Bush them couldn't understand
how Wayne was making all his money.
They couldn't understand how Wayne had bought all those cars in 1982. You understand what I'm saying? I'm going to wait till you're done.
Okay, go ahead. Enough.
They couldn't understand how Wayne was buying all these cars in 1982. He spent close to $500,000 in cars. But he got a $5 special in Detroit. Set up blows for $5. That was unheard of all summer long.
Yeah, he always
went. But I'm in Boston getting four times the amount. A bundle in Detroit, he getting $50 for it. At most, $120. I'm getting $400.
And selling the same amount.
Selling the same amount.
Not like you getting $40 back, but I'm only
and now, $1,000 now listen. Well, at that time, Wayne was living. The most I had done maybe $19,000 a day in Boston. When he died, that's when I took it up to $40,000 or $50,000 a day. I was getting $40,000 or $50,000 a day, and then at one point I had Detroit and Boston going together. I was getting close to $80,000-$90,000
a day. Oh man, is that when the era when you come across Ray Benzino? Shout out to Benzino.
Benzino come from Four Corners through my man Corcho, through my man Fly. See, like I said, you had to go through a select choice to come to Boston. I didn't let niggas from Detroit come to Boston. Because I didn't want to do nothing to them for trying to cross me because this shit is sweet. So I had choice people, right? I brought. They know better. I had some people that tried. Yeah. And I spared their life.
This spot was here. Wayne just supplied the dope. Wayne didn't.
See, well, Wayne never, see, listen, Wayne never expected that, and I'm going to be honest with you, he sent me there really to fail. Because the team he sent before failed.
Well, he sent him there just to get him.
Just to get me, just say, I ain't going to say to fail, to get me out, to get out of the way. He didn't expect me to make do what I'd done. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But I can't come back home.
But
and I can't join in with y'all where y'all getting the money and enjoy it. You sent me here. I got to make this work for me. I still got a, I got a wife. Jamie wasn't born yet. I got a wife and a kid. I got a woman and a kid at home.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm going to show you the mindset. Wayne never let it go, though. Although he sent two crews up there, didn't he? And they had to come back. He still never, he like, man, it's a gold mine.
But then, it was in the back of his mind, but what made him push to go there is because he had no place to send me, and I was a loyal servant to him in Detroit. So he had to get me out of there. Mm-hmm. So he said, fuck it. Here, take a quarter, 7 grams.
You started that Boston thing with a quarter.
With 7 grams. He didn't expect that. When I called him and said, listen, I'm through. Shocked the shit out of him. He said, how much you got? I said, I got 10,000.
Wait a minute. You made?
Off 7 grams, I made 10,000. Listen. Listen, he got there quick as hell.
I know he did.
Yeah, and that point, it was on from that point. He see, he got a spot now. I didn't have a connect when I came home.
Yeah.
But right. By him talking about how I was in Boston, I was able to go to the connect, and he had already heard about me. He never met me, but he had heard about me.
You talking about TJ?
Huh? Yes, sir.
Because the numbers had started picking up.
Yes. And, you know, his teacher went in like, damn, nigga, whoa. And he started bragging. He started bragging about me. I remember coming home one time. I hadn't been home in 9 months. First time I come home after my went for my, I had to see Lisa and my son, Mama. I had to see him. I'm going to take the chance. I got to come home. I've been gone 9 months without seeing my family. I've been up in a city that I don't even know for 9 months, man. And made family up here. That's what Zeno said last time I was on the phone. He said, man, listen, niggas in Boston love you. They love you, Pete. You, listen, like I'm going to ask you this question. What would make a person, man or woman, respect you and always remember you? It's a three-letter word. I'm going to give you a few minutes to think about it.
Three-letter word makes somebody always remember you
and respect you.
First three-letter word to come is I had a lot of fun with you. That's one, right?
I'm going to give you three
essential. Essential. What's the essential thing that you need to survive?
He said three letters. Three letters. What'd you say, Al?
A gun.
No. You wrong.
As you said, your four, one. I was going to say.
No, yeah. We ain't talking about four. Give me three.
But what was you going to say if you said four?
Love. No.
Food.
If you was letting people
food.
Eat.
Listen, y'all, you might as well give up.
All right.
Don't make it wrong. EAT.
I was close.
Yeah, food. Teach a person how to eat, they'll never respect you. It's like the fisherman story. The little boy and the fisherman. Took the boy fishing, but the little boy said, you teach me how to fish, I can take care of my own family. That's what it is. I taught people how to eat. That's why I'm well respected around Boston to Detroit. I taught niggas how to eat. You know what I'm saying? I fed them, then taught them how to eat. I taught them the game. I gave them the blueprint. You know what I'm saying? That's why I don't have to say nothing. Al, you, y'all ask for me. I don't say nothing. I don't even post shit on the internet. No, everybody talk about me, I ain't got to say a word.
I said, you know.
I ain't got to say a word.
I thought I'd give you this, and I said it to you. I said it to Skip. I talk to, you know, everybody in this world.
whatever people say one way or the other, your credentials as a hustler, 100%. Ain't nobody, everybody who know of you have ever worked with you say, no matter what you say in the end, that man know how to get money and handle his money. And there's something to be said for that.
And I stand 100 through the game. Even though people tried to throw shade on me, it couldn't even stand up. You know, you don't have merit to it. You know what I'm saying? You don't have merit.
You remember
to
the first time we met? Tracy Basement?
Yeah, man. Era. Come on, man. I met that, you know what I'm saying? Tracy Basement was the hub.
Right.
Was the hub.
And that's where you met Eddie Jr.
Yes, sir.
Didn't know.
I taught him how to play basketball. I took him to the Y. That nigga was scared to show his nuts. I said, nigga, real, what you scared to take a shower in front of, man? You go in there with his towel all wrapped tight and shit. He got his towel all wrapped tight. Listen, we got to play basketball. Take a shower.
Y'all used to go to Highland Park Y.
Highland Park Y. Tyler Ward.
There was one more question.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm going to get this out of here. This is what I'm going to get out of here.
Go ahead.
I don't understand when little Eddie went like he went, man. Little Eddie was my little dude, man. You know what I'm saying? I used to like little Eddie. I still like little Eddie.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But when he went stupid on me like that, man, I just didn't understand it, man. Because I just couldn't understand. Is this really for internet, man? You would do that for internet, man? I mean, I'll just put this out there for him. You know, Listen, his old man was a great man. He was like a father to me. Made some bad decisions, but still, I respect him, you know what I'm saying, because he treated me good. I have no gripes with Big Eddie. You know what I'm saying? That's why I had to address this with little Eddie right now. You know, that was uncalled for. And I forgive him for it. You know what I'm saying?
That's classy.
I forgive him for it, because you tried to put taint on my name, you know what I'm saying? But I didn't ever defend it because I didn't have to. I don't have to defend nothing that I know ain't true.
And in your book, you give his father all the respect.
Come on, man. Come on, man.
By the reason.
Shout out to the book.
Bow, Honor, Torn by Greed, a true and untold story, and Young Boys Incorporated, told by Pepsi and Pix. You know what I'm saying? And check out my podcast, you know, Real Talk.
Please.
With Pepsi and Skip.
What's the podcast called again? We're going to give a couple.
Real Talk with Skip and Pepsi. That's
Real Talk with Skip Pepsi.
Yes, sir.
Where is that jacket at?
It's over on the couch. And get your hat out the bag, too. Throw it on for me. Show me your true one.
Oh, yeah.
Show me your real one.
I already know.
CB.
I already know.
We had a guy in our clique named CB.
So, the biggest bottle, we flinched up, the biggest bottle of Pipers, you know, I've been around the world with all kinds of names.
Yes, sir.
I ain't never seen a bottle of Pipers big as, excuse me.
That one was sitting up here, that one about this high.
Yeah, yeah. I said good role models.
They got that cardboard, and you might want to take it out.
They be wondering, how you learn how to ball like that? I said, boy, between the big man, they messed around with Pep and that crew. Oh, I got real good at spending money. Y'all niggas taught me real
That's
good.
One thing. That money gets spent, baby. You know what I'm saying?
Y'all check this out. We about to put these out on the market for real. Now that we linking up the team.
Tell the inside too, Tucker.
But,
when you always.
You know, I know them people. Oh, shit. This is a classic. That's the classic photo right there.
That's me right there, y'all.
Yeah, we got to get this.
My son made these luxury clothing. Shout out to the Luxury Mar.
Definitely Luxury Mar. We're going to put these into production, Pop. We got to go ahead.
Yes, sir.
Take this.
Listen, it ain't original unless it's got Bob Arnold on the back.
There you go. Y'all see that,
so
right?
So you heard, you got the rest, but this is the best. See this here?
That's a classic.
Bound by Honor. That's what we were. Bound by Honor. A neighborhood of gladiators.
It is. Man, appreciate the hell out of this. You know,
baby, 100.
All coming. Only exclusive here at Big Ball. Skip, Pep in the house, real Detroit legends. Putting it down. Love y'all, man. All right.
1973. The Detroit Free Press's front page proclaims, "Dope kingpins get away with it." They had names like Jesse James, Pretty Ricky, the Black Greek, and Mr. Clean. Two of the 12 men listed as Detroit's biggest heroin dealers were next-door neighbors. And in reality, they were the two largest heroin dealers in Detroit, dwarfing the other men on the list.
Got 12 kilos. We gonna cut it 10 times at a minimum. So it would have been 120 kilos.
The audience needs to understand the significance of black entrepreneurship.
Customer give me the money, put the money through a chute in the door. They would drop the dope down right in front of the door.
And everybody was getting money. Everybody was getting money that time.
Always bags of money coming and going in the house.
Almost to the ceiling, just a room full of money stacked to the ceiling.
Eddie had shot past everybody in the city put together.
The gentleman gangster. Meet the right people, make the right connections, make everyone happy, and do it all without having to really brandish a gun.
Nicky Bond, snitch. Frank Lucas, snitch. Where's the real ones?
I said, give me the pistol. And I said, I should blow your goddamn brains out right now.
The 750 murders last year was a record for Detroit, murder capital of the country.
This is a story about a real one. From the beginning to the end, never telling on nobody.
Eddie the Fat Man Jackson, charismatic son of a pool hall owner, and his chief lieutenant, Courtney the Field Marshal Brown, a former city bus driver, had built an empire on a par with men like Nicky Barnes and Frank Lucas of New York. But theirs was a very different and in many ways more sophisticated operation than Barnes and Lucas's, based on family ties and finesse more than murder and mayhem.
I went into that foolishness. It was business to me.
He kept it so separate, and he's my little league baseball coach.
Family came first.
He would keep a pistol at the bottom of the Halloween bag.
Boom, 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 boom. I'm gonna shoot you right down.
We had guys working three shifts. They were just like they worked before. We paid vacation. They worked 8 hours a day. They got paid for overtime. And we had a bunch of law workers.
Okay, I'm gonna take 250 people. I got a million to blow. We all gonna go down here and blow this million together.
Throwing money out of the car down in the Brewster Project.
Me and Eddie used to buy 2 and 3 keys of cocaine just for our personal.
The entertainers wanted to take pictures with the likes of those men like Eddie Jackson.
You name them, we served them. Richard Pryor, the Dale, the OJ.
It's just a couple of old white guys sitting around a desk with a whole bunch of people bringing them money in. And what they were doing were, they were money launderers.
You know, you ask yourself questions like tobacco. How many people died last year from tobacco? When we started talking about the moral value of what Eddie Jackson and others do. I'm not condoning what they do. What I'm simply saying is that there are many on that playing field.
People from Israel, there's some people from South America, there's some people from West Africa, and then it's myself.
Everybody in the city knew Eddie Jackson, and everybody knew he was on top of the pyramid. I was his right-hand man.